Hi, everyone. This is Gary, joined by Jeff and Sam. And actually, Jeff is hosting the call tonight. Sam and I are co-hosts. And so for this campfire conversation this evening, we want to talk about several truths that are really highlighted in the film Act of Valor. That is just an amazing film. I hope that you all have seen it. If you haven't seen it and you've seen the trailer, you will want to see the movie. And I really want to encourage you, before the movie leaves the theater, to go see that movie. But this was Jeff's brainchild, his desire to talk about this movie. So, Jeff, we are with you. I'm passing the ball to you for this campfire conversation.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I want to say I got a chance to see this movie probably under some of the most ideal conditions. We had a base camp gathering at Sam's house. It was really an intense environment where we had, I think, eight guys. Each man, we probably took about 3 hours on his story. And if there's anything assaulted in the world more than your story, it just might be the name of God. You know, that's what the enemy really wants to do, is assault the name of and the image of God. But after that, it's our story. And so going after a man's story and trying to recover that and dig in there, everybody was live and oriented in the room. And so we had quite a weekend. And so during the Saturday evening, we decided to take a break and to go see this movie, Act of Valor. Well, seeing that movie in that condition would be like spending 3 months in the simulator, having them throw everything they could at you that could be thrown at you in a jet. And then as soon as you get on the line, your first flight, you get an engine failure. You're right there. You've been doing this stuff. So the eyes of our heart, we're wide awake, and we see this movie with this team of guys that we've been with all weekend. And it was a wonderful experience. And I think one of the things I noticed right away after the movie is Gary had this kind of look on his face, like, probably not a good idea to talk to him right now. he's processing some things out. And so I think maybe that's my first question tonight, Gary, is what happened in that moment where it wasn't a good idea to even talk to you at that moment?
Yeah, I know. I had that look, and I wasn't even angry or upset about anything. That's really amazing. You know what, Jeff, your introduction just brought some clarity to me about how alert and oriented we were walking into this, because we were hearing each other's story. We felt like a band of brothers. We were fighting for each other. We were equipping each other. So that now I kind of partly understand my reaction because of the setting our hearts were in when we saw the movie. Now, I'll tell you what, I really didn't want to talk, as you said. In fact, as we got in the car, I just said, I wouldn't know what to say, and I don't want to talk right now, because I think I was so taken by, first of all, that the main character in these movies are real Navy SEALs. This is the life they actually live. Now, you know, much of, obviously, the storyline was make-believe based on real situations, but these are the real guys, and as I said in the movie, they wouldn't do anything that wasn't realistic the way they did it. And I was just so struck by the lives these guys live, how they live with each other, the training that they've had to go through so that in the moment they were completely ready, not only to do what they had to do, but also to lay their life down for each other. The depth of friendship that we just got to get a little feel for, as you're obviously just watching this on a screen. I was breathless. I was truly, I truly couldn't speak after that movie. I was so taken by it.
Yeah. Well, this brings up a great point. I'm highlighting what you're talking about, friendship. And I'd love to open this up for a minute. And in doing that, I'd like to ask Sam. Sam, what did you see on that subject of friendship? What really stood out to you in this movie?
Well, the scene that stood out to me was a scene where the SEAL team, is spending a last evening with their families, and they're out on a beach somewhere, and, you know, the kids are in the surf, and some of the guys are surfing, but then the men on the SEAL team get together, And they just have a little talk together. And two things in particular struck me. One is, I don't remember who the guy was. You know, the leader in some ways of the team said, okay, guys, you know, we're going on a mission tomorrow, but I need to make sure that everybody's life here is together. You know, what's your relationship with your wife like? What's your finances like? What's your relationship with your kids like? And we need to make sure that you've got this stuff covered so you won't be distracted on the mission. And I just thought that was really great because I think so often we think of the mission as the guys who are out there fighting and shooting and all that kind of stuff. But the leader was saying our mission is also our families. Our mission is that,
yeah.
And we can't let that get in the way. I mean, you can't
right.
Pit them against each other. They're both part of our mission. And so it just struck me. I thought that was just a really great illustration of we can't abandon some of our responsibilities just to go off and do the mission because our other responsibilities are our mission. Our family is. Our finances are. Our kids are our mission as well.
Right. And if something's off balance at home, then you're going to be off balance. And if you're off balance, then you're not going to be fully present with us in this mission critical time. Right?
Well, exactly that. That's exactly it, Jeff, is I do think that there's times that I can go off on a mission. You know, I go, we do a retreat together or something like that. But I may have some unresolved things with my wife that I haven't dealt with, and I think that that can distract me. And I think that God is saying, you know, we need to take care of that stuff too. We can't let it distract us when we're on mission.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we got to make sure that we're dealing with it.
Right.
Yeah, and I remember, Sam, when you were talking about this, you and I were talking about this a while back, you were also struck as you talked about that scene where they said, if you need help getting things back into balance.
That's my second
balance.
Point. No, go ahead.
Oh, go
yeah.
ahead. Yes,
no,
yes, please.
No, I don't care who says it. But no, okay, so first they say, let's make sure we don't have that distraction. We got to deal with those things. We really do. We can't let that distract us from our mission. But then the guy goes on to say, but listen, if you need help in that area, we're here. We're here to help you talk with your, you know, with your family. We're here if you got financial issues. We're here to make sure that you don't have that distraction. And I thought it was really an incredible picture of these guys fighting for each other's lives in their personal lives. They're not letting it go. They're saying, we're not just on a mission when we're out on a mission. We're on a mission when we're together, and we want to help each other. And I'm thinking, this is like what base camp is. I almost want to put a page on base camp, you know, called the beach scene of Act of Valor, because this is what we want. I mean, I think that we all want, if we're struggling with knowing what our calling is, we want to get a little group of guys around us to say, we're going to help you. Joe, we're going to help you figure out what your calling is. Or you know what it is, but you're not sure how to act. We want to be able to put together a little team. You know, a SWAT team, and now we're mixing metaphors, but a SWAT team to come in and help us figure out what our next step is, or we're having trouble with our family or anything. I think that's what base camp is meant to be. It's meant to be us getting together and saying, what is it that we need? That I think, was a perfect picture of base camp. So
yeah, and you know, it was not an idle conversation he was having with his men. The guy's name was actually Rourke, was the leader. And these families are under a tremendous amount of pressure because they realize that when this guy goes on mission, he might not come home. So the threat is real of what they're dealing with. As it is with us, that's what, you know, you have to translate that, you know, if, like we were talking about last week, if we're going to advance the kingdom, if we're going to do something, there's going to be this opposition. And it really is the same with us, that this is the way we are to live. The verse I had put out to all the men, Paul says, hey, listen, I just want to tell you about this life. You're in way over your head, and you can't do this alone. All right? So make sure you're with your men, and you're using every weapon that God has given you in this fight. And so the idea that you're allowed to, and you have the freedom to go, hey, you know what? I just want to bring this up. This is not what's going right at home. I'm coming into this, you know, battle, or I'm coming into this mission with you guys. This is what's going on. And not being fearful of that, you know, that this is the way it is. And you work through those things so that you can be fully present on the particular mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, yeah, Jeff and Sam, I put a line out of the movie up on the main page underneath the trailer that I was struck by, that very much goes with what you're saying, and the line was, so live your life that fear of death can never enter your heart. And later on they talk about that you live it in such a way that when you come to that moment of death, you're not regretting what you didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you lived your life fully in every realm. And that was such a great, kind of ending to the beginning of the movie of making sure you're in balance on every front. That's powerful.
Right, right.
I like what Aaron was saying, where he said that there was a willingness for them to help each other to achieve the rebalance in their life. And you know, so it, part of what you're talking about there, Gary, is we can face death when we know that we have balanced those things. You know, we don't. You know, what's the classic line? When people are on their deathbed, they never say, "I wish I'd spent more time in the office." You know, they're always talking about investing in the relationships in their family, and that's what they had done. And I think that these guys were really helping these guys balance their lives. We have this vision, you know, we have this mission where we may die, but we want to make sure our lives are balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing, just one more observation for me on this, is that sometimes I wonder if we don't see when we are out of balance, and friends do.
Mm-hmm.
They can observe our relationship with our wife. They can just observe the condition of our heart or soul, if you will.
Yeah.
And we think we're in balance, and it takes someone else to say, "You really are out of balance right now. Something is off. And
yeah.
Can I help you get that back in balance again?" I just think that's huge.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So Jeff,
what about you, Jeff?
Of course, I was fascinated right from the get-go. And there were two characters that were the leading guys in this. And they couldn't put their actual names in there, I don't think, because they're active Navy SEAL soldiers. So one guy's name was Rourke. And that's who the movie was pretty much all about. And then the other guy was LT. And LT is talking about Rourke's life. And he was going, you know, your grandfather flew B-24s in the Pacific during World War II. And they were going down. And he held the controls and stayed at it while every other man was able to jump off and save their lives. And the point of that conversation was, this is the blood that is coursing through your veins. And so this theme then gets carried out. And this is a bit of a giveaway if you haven't seen the movie, so forgive me, but it comes down to the final battle when Rourke has successfully taken these men through this mission, and they're in an enclosed area, and this you rarely see, actually, when they're all together like that. But I think there are about five of them in the room when the grenade gets dropped. When the grenade gets dropped, Rourke sees it. Now, the interesting thing here, and the hard thing is he's doing everything he can to get home because his wife is pregnant and is just about to have a baby. And so he knows fully well the sacrifice that he's going to make, and he's the one who jumps on the hand grenade. And, of course, everyone else is saved, and then Rourke loses his life. And so the question is when that happens, the other four men now that are in that room, whose life are they living now? Do they have a right to live their own life at this point in time? And I just want to break that down for a second. And put it in simpler terms. And so, Gary, I'm going to use you as an example, right? You have this desire to get the Noble Heart up and running, right? And so you get the website going, you get the 501c going, and I get the impression, I get a feeling like, hey, you know what, Gary, I'm going to give you, I really feel like God has asked me to do this. I'm going to give you $100,000 so that you can then do this and be free and clear. And I say, hey, listen, this is really God, but you know, here's the gift. So I deposit $100,000 into your bank account. When you wake up the next morning, how are you going to live, Gary? You know, are you going to live your own life, or are you going to go, you know, God, you know, I want to thank you for this gift, and I'm living for you right now. You know, I mean, that sense, you're thankful, and you're not living your own life right now, and so that comes from just a mere $100,000 sacrifice, right? So in a sense, you know, if someone lays their life down for you, okay, you're living for him, and in another way, he's then living through you at that point in time. And of course, this is the gospel message, that this is what Jesus has done for us. And of course, we know more than this. We know that he didn't just simply roll on the hand grenade, but took all of our sin and shame away at the same time, and now has every right to live through us. And the question is, and what the movie brings out is that, okay, if we are going to live now, and our life has been given back to us, his blood is coursing through our veins. And that the way we're to live is to live courageously and as beautiful as his death on the cross for us. Those are the orienting things in our life. That he has every right to live, that my life is not my own anymore. You know? And so it was just this beautiful message of seeing this man do that. It's stunning, actually, that there would be no greater love, and that we actually do this for men in a certain way. So, Gary, if I've given you $100,000 and you're able to go on a particular retreat and God moves in certain men to do amazing things in the kingdom, well, part of that is you and part of that is me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're living, in a sense, through each other as we lay down and sacrifice for each other. And so I love that part of the book.
That's a really great point. I love your illustration, because all of a sudden what you are doing is now not just as big as your life, it's as big as two lives, you know?
Right.
In that illustration you gave with Basecamp, or obviously Christ giving his life, it's all of a sudden it's not just as big as me, it's as big as Christ and me. That's just a great point. And I do love that fact that, you know, they played it in slow motion for a second, where you can see he's looking around the room. He's looking at each one of these guys, realizing there's one option. Someone has to take the bullet, if you will. Someone has to fall in the hand grenade or everyone dies. And, you know, just that moment of clarity and then that moment of brotherhood, like they talked about. If for 1 second you're going to hold back for your brothers, then you're dead. It isn't going to work, you know, and What a great illustration. What a powerful illustration of Christ, and what a powerful illustration of the body of Christ. That's amazing. That's really good.
So, Jeff, here's my question. When you see that, does it make you want to jump on a hand grenade for somebody else?
Well, here's how it really honestly speaks to me, is that the sacrifices that we do make for one another count. It really does matter. This is a shared adventure, a shared mission, that we are meant to do that. And there are times when, you know, we're not number one here. You know, we're not number two, even three in this mission, but we're in this mission and we've sacrificed, and it does make a difference. It's the foundation of that particular mission that we're on. But the other way it really speaks to me is that, you know, I think there's this culture that we live in that we want to be the, sort of center stage guy, where we really do look to the guy on stage. And I love what Brennan Manning said. He said, you know, a life lived in God isn't a life that goes on the center stage. It's the life that you walk into obscurity, actually. And that I have seen this so often where you talk to the thousands, but then one day, really, you're with the five or six. And it's there in the obscure room, in some back room, where it's not on stage and no one can see, that God asks you to lay your life down for those men. And no one's going to see it, really. It's just death, you know. And it's obscure, but it's small.
Well, no, and I agree with that. I realize that, but when I hear you talk about that scene, I've heard you talk about it a few times. It seems to me that there's something inside you that really wants to be able to lay your life down for some other man. It just seems like that's just a key part of you. And I think it should be a key part of all of us. But every time I hear you describe that scene, I sense some kind of desire of saying, that's the kind of guy I want to be. And I may not have my guts blown out in a hand grenade. I may just be spending my life talking to men every day, but I'm laying my life down for them. I'm changing their lives. That's what I see in you. I hear in your voice.
You know, I love that. As I get to talk to people about, okay, hey, what are these retreats you do with Noble Heart? I say, you know, one of the best things about it, it's not us up there waxing eloquent on some teaching level, but getting in the room with four other guys and spending the weekend on their story, and that this mission, it's about them, actually. You know, that you're bringing the weight of your life, it's for them, actually. That's what I love about what we're doing, you know. And so you see that in this movie, so prevalent in this particular scene.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's really good. You know, I think as you guys are speaking, and man, just going to open it up for you guys to share some things as well, be it on the chat line as you are or on the phone. But I was struck at the beginning of the movie, Sam, where you were talking with the idea, you remember that they were describing, and you men who've seen the movie, they were the main character was describing every man on the SEAL team. And I was very taken how the image they gave is each man knew the other man. They knew them well. They knew their story, they knew their strength, and they knew their role. And there was just something mm-hmm. very endearing about that, to be with a group of men, and they all know each other well. And there's no bravado. There's just, this is who he is. And this is what I experienced when I'm with all the guys at base camp. I mean, this is the same. I was taken by that. That, you know, and so let me just say in general with me, gosh, I was struck by how every man had something that they did, something that they carried for the team. And they could play any role that was needed in the moment. They were trained to do that. But they were specifically trained and equipped for one vital role that the team needed. Every man had that role.
Yeah.
And you just saw that throughout the movie. That really captured me. And so I think about this verse in Philemon 1:6, and it says, Paul says, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may be effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. And I love that verse because he's just saying your fellowship will be so strong when you know what it is that you carry for Christ's sake. And that's
yeah.
what you see with these men, right? They were very specifically trained. They knew what they carried, and their fellowship was strong because they truly needed each other. But they weren't locked
yeah.
in that role. They could switch for their brother if they needed to. I imagine any guy could step up and be a sniper because they have to go through sniper training. But there was
right.
a sniper
right.
who was very good at this, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing that strikes me, and it's another
well,
verse.
Let me jump in there a minute before
yeah.
you do that. I love your line about how they were, you know, they each had unique skills that they brought, and they each knew each other well. They were cross-trained, but they each brought something, and they knew it in each other. And I think one of the things that struck that you reminded me of was when we had the base camp gathering at my house a few weeks ago, Dan Ainsworth was with us. And Dan was out on the porch, I don't know, I think Saturday afternoon, saying to us guys, he's saying, I don't see how you guys see this stuff in movies. I mean, I love it when you show it, but I never see anything in a movie, just a good story. Do you guys remember that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we go to the movie Saturday night. Was it Saturday night? It was Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, now we have all spent, as Jeff said, 2.5 or 3 hours telling each other our story, talking into each other. We get to know each other not only when we hear our story, but when we just hear each other giving feedback, we really got to know each other. It was deep. Dan comes back and says, you know what, I saw that movie, and then he went through each man in that group, and he said, Gary, this is who I see you. Jeff, this is who I see you to be. Mark, this is who I see you to be. And you know what, I think he hit a home run every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
in that time where we really were, you know, bearing our souls to each other, we got to know each other, and Dan just was able to express it so perfectly because he was getting to know us, the very thing that we want.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dan was fabulous. He's not on the call tonight, and I'm saying, oh, Dan, we
yeah.
missed you.
Oh, yeah. He has great insight.
He had great insight, and he got to know us.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, he nailed every single person. From what we got to know over the weekend when he said, you were this character in this scene, you were this character. I mean, we sat there with our jaw dropped to the floor going, unbelievable, and it was so encouraging.
It was encouraging, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so two more quick things. Going back to the scene that you talked about, Sam, where they said, you need to get your life in balance, and we're here to help you if you need to. I love the way they fought for each other, and there's another verse in Philemon, it's 1:18. And Paul says in here, he says, but if he has wronged you, he's talking about another character in the scripture there, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, you charge that to my account. And it just, I just thought about that verse as I was looking at this, because I thought, it's every man saying, listen, if you have something wrong in your life, I'll step in, and you can put it against my account. I'll fall on that hand grenade to get this right with you again,
Absolutely. To
get you back to life and to living.
Mm.
And then the very last thing that strikes me is in one of the behind-the-scenes videos, they talk about, you know, the fact that it was unusual for these, in fact, kind of uncomfortable for these SEALs to do this movie, because he said, you know, we basically are silent warriors. I mean, that's what we are. We don't talk about what we do. We don't do things to be seen. We do things to get the job done. And I thought, that's just a great picture of what it looks like, I think, to walk with God as men in the kingdom, that we don't do things to be seen, to be heard, or draw attention. We just do things to get the job done, and we just do it with each other. Those things really struck me.
Yeah, without a doubt. Sam, what did you notice about the way these guys communicated with each other?
Well, you know, there's several different scenes of communication. There was Jeff, I never remember guys' names, so you're going to have to remember, but remember the guy who does throw himself on the grenade. He's got a close friend.
Yeah, that's Rourke. Yeah.
You know, they're really personal. The guy's saying, I've got a child on the way. They are very personal. The other man says, I see you. I see the way you work with men. I see the way you work with other people. You will be a great father. He's not buttering him up. He sees the man. He sees him, and he's able to affirm the thing inside the man. The man has a fear. What's it going to be like to be a father? But he's seen. The other thing I loved was they knew each other so well that when they're in the battle scenes, you know, sometimes they just use a few of those little hand signals, and it's like they're communicating, you know, war and peace. You know, they got like a whole novel that they've created just through a few hand signals. They know each other well enough that just seeing the facial figure, seeing a little hand signal, they understand each other. They can communicate. And both of those,
right.
One was the really in-depth personal communication, and the other was just the simple little hand signals, but both of those, they were connecting to each other. They were really being understood.
Yeah, right. Yeah, their communication during the battle was outstanding. Just that was wide open, where they were, where the enemy was, what time I'm going to be there. That was really outstanding. And, I think the other thing that really struck me, too, in the movie was at the end, when they were going for the terrorists in Mexico before they were going to go into the catacombs, and Rourke meets his counterpart, that's the Mexican counterpart.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, this is where this particular drop is of these. It's a milk factory. There these catacombs are under a milk factory. And the Mexican guy knows right away where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, listen, I can take you there, but it's the worst place in Mexico. It is just full of the cartel there, the worst place. And Rourke simply says, well, if that's where we're going, then. That's where we're going. And, he had just got out of a battle, and he's looking at, hey, that's where we're going then, you know. And that sort of that fearless thing of, like, you know, hey, that where the trouble is, that's where I'm going.
Where the trouble is, that's where I'll be.
And again, I'm going past Rourke here, and I'm seeing Christ. You know, I think there's this thing in me that it's like when everything falls apart or it's the worst scenario, I almost think that God is distant or not looking or looking the other way or, ooh, that's too bad, I can't move in there. But where that darkness is and where there's trouble, that's where he's going. You know, he's walking right into the submerged chaos. You know, he's coming, invite him, but he's coming anyway. You know, that's where I'm needed. That's where I'm going. And again, I saw the Lord through this guy. You know, he was beautiful.
Yeah. And I know, Jeff, you want to invite guys if they want to make a comment here with the last 10 minutes, but I was also struck by their communication. And I love the fact that, first of all, these men were never frantic, right? They just knew what they had to do. No one panicked, you know.
Right.
They just took care of it. Like you said, a man who can rule his emotions can do much. You know, he's almost unstoppable. And they were very good at ruling their emotions. And so they talked calmly. But I love the fact that they could do something as slight as simply touching a man on the shoulder, and he knew what that meant. He knew he was to go now. You know, there was that intimacy with each other of experience, of training, of understanding. Mm-hmm. And I'm struck by that's what God wants with us. He says, you know, don't be like a horse or a mule who only responds to a bit or a bridle in his mouth. You know, where you literally have to be yanked or experience pain to sense communication. But rather you can just feel, you know, the slight nudge of knees on your waist, you know, for a horse on its body to go, I know what's going on here. Just the slightest movement, you pick it up. And that's what God wants with us. And you just see this illustration of how these men were with each other. And we've all experienced to some degree certain friendships, certain brothers that you know what they're thinking and sensing and wanting to do, and they never have to say a word. You just pick it up. You know them well.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, I would love to open this up, but before I do, I want to ask Gary and Sam something here. This is John Hart wrote about when the guy just jumps on the hand grenade. And John Hart says, I'm not sure how much thinking a man does when he jumps on a grenade, as much as he makes a knee-jerk reaction that comes out of his true nature. And my tendency is to say that I totally agree with that. But my question is, do you think that true nature of a man can change and develop over time of walking with God?
You mean they might not be willing to do it at one point, but later in life they come to be at a point where they can do that? Is that what you mean?
Right. They come through the door, and it's all about them all their life. It's been all about
them. I'm laughing
them
at
all
Mark Wagner's comment. He says, oh, God, I hope so. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, please tell me that God is developing my character, Gary. Please tell me that, you know. I mean, I think we all want to hear that now. This is where you step in with, you know, it's your call stuff, and tell us that God is developing our character, please, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was meeting with a friend last week on his back deck over a cigar talking, and we were catching up just with each other's journey, and he said very candidly, he said, you know, I'm not sure people really change. I just don't think people change anymore. And he's a counselor. Now, first of all, he has to live in many hard stories every single week. But I just was so struck by that thought, and I just wanted to say, well, then let's just give up Christianity. Because honestly, if Christ can't change my heart while I'm here, and I do believe change happens in small increments, not in large increments for the most part, but I thought, really, if our character doesn't change, then this is not real. None of this is real.
Yeah.
There has to be change right now, or the power of Christ is not what we think it is. So I think it is, and one of the things I think one of the ways we realize this, I mean, yes, Scripture says that, and we have to come to the point to believe it. But I think we so much need each other to say, Jeff, you've changed. I've seen you over the years. You are a different man today than you were 2 years ago, than you were a year ago, than you were 6 months ago. I'm telling you the truth. We need to hear that from each other, because I think we change so in such small increments that we just, and plus the warfare against us, we just tend to not believe it's true. But it is. We see it in others. And of course, God has the power and the intention to do that with us.
Right. You know, and this is what Paul is doing continually in the scriptures. You know, he's asking them to live up, right, to this worthy, you know, death and what Christ has done. I love what he says here, to make you intelligent, discerning, in knowing him personally, that your eyes are focused and clear so that you could see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust in him. And, you know, this is all throughout Scripture. I see him really calling us up to live fully. And I like what you're saying there, Gary, about, you know, the changes that have happened over the last 2 years. They might not be very salient, but it's a good idea to remind me, hey, you know, this is where I see you going. You know, this is what I see has happened recently. You circle up with the guys, you know, and say that, especially before a mission. I think it's incredible. And the reason I say that is I think the first person who gives up on change is us ourselves. We're so often the first ones to give up, you know. We'll you know, like Sam was saying on this last podcast, I 2 steps forward, 10 steps backward. You know, as soon as we see that we've made 2 steps forward and something happens, you know, and it just doesn't look like we've made progress, we're the first ones to give up. And I think that's how we can fight for each other, is to remind each other. And it might seem like a small thing, but maybe it's really not in who we really are.
Well, when you were saying, can we change, I literally this morning I was reading Romans 12, just the beginning, where Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God. I think the way we change really is something you were talking about before, is understanding the mercy of God. You were saying if you had given Gary $100,000, all of a sudden Gary's life is going to change. He's going to be living for somebody else because of the weight of what's been given him, the glory of it, the joy of it. But
right.
He's going to be living for something else. And I think Paul is here. Paul doesn't even say, I command you. He just says, I appeal to you, I urge you, know the mercies of God. And I think as we know those mercies, as we really understand them, I think that it's easier to present our bodies as living sacrifices because we see what's been given to us already. And whatever we give back
right.
just is a fraction. So I do think we
yeah.
can change, obviously, by understanding but what's been given to us.
Right.
You know, the other thing that strikes me, you know, at the end of the movie, when they are in those tunnelways and they've got to stop these guys from, you know, crossing into the United States, where then they
yeah.
scatter and they can't find them, and yet they're armed with these vests. You know, in that ending scene, the one of the SEAL team guys is getting shot over and over again. Now he's wearing a bulletproof vest, but he's getting shot in the legs, and yet he fights staying coherent so he can
oh, yeah.
stop that last man from running. And you know, one of the things, as you know, I remember reading SEAL Team 6 and a number of these books, and one of the things they do in their training that these guys go through, they try to break them to the point that they realize that you can survive much more than you think. You can do much more than you think. You are stronger than you know. You know, that they don't just simply submit to mental, you know, these mental barriers of I can't take anymore, I can't do anymore. And I just was thinking today about, you know what, it's so easy for us to give up and say, I just can't do this anymore. This is too hard. I just
yeah.
I can't maintain my heart. And we need each other to say, yes, you can. You can keep firing. You can keep moving. We can keep working
right.
together. Because
right.
I don't know, I mean, what I study in Scripture is there is no point beyond which we cannot pass, you know. And yet we
right.
always feel like this is it. This is, I'm over the line here. I can go no further. But I think God
yeah.
will test us to say, yes, you can. You can do more than this.
Yeah.
And I think this is what we do for each other in base camp.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I'm thinking of examples in my own life where I can take a lot more than I – the body, of course, with the Navy SEALs, it's the body could take a lot more than you realize. But, you know, I think in the kingdom, we really can take a lot more than we realize.
Mm-hmm.
Without
yep.
a doubt.
Yep.
It, yeah.
So, guys, I would love to open this up. If anybody has anything that they would like to say from the movie that they saw, please share with us. Love to hear from you at this time. You want to open up the lines, Gary? Or,
well, you know what I've told them, because sometimes we open up the line and somebody has a lot of noise behind them from wherever, whatever environment they're in. So, yeah, I've put this on the chat line, but let me invite you to. We have a few more minutes, so if you'd like to make an observation, a comment, that's just hit star 2 if you're on the phone. And if you're not on the phone but would like to make one, if you write something on chat line, we'll read it out loud as if you're doing it. We'll let Sam do it with his radio voice. So.
I don't even know what you mean by that.
Yeah, I was making that up.
So my favorite part of the movie was when the interrogator walks on the boat to interview Crisco.
Oh, that's so funny. Crisco.
And that was a good moment for me, you know.
Oh, that was great.
Let me explain something to you. When I walked on this boat, your life was over. You know, and it's over, you know, well, that was good. That was good.
And that line that he gives, and I'm quoting from the movie, remember he's looking at his watch and the guy says, "What, do you have to go somewhere?" And he goes, "No." He said, "No, actually, my shit filter is full now."
Oh, right.
What a great line. Like, this is over. We're not talking like this anymore. This is great.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that was good. And, you know, of course, the point being is in the whole movie is that this whole thing is bigger than we thought, right? You know, when they recover the woman, Regalis or something like that, and they get the cell phone, and then they open up the cell phone and find out that this mission is way larger than they ever imagined.
Right.
And so when he's interrogating Crisco, he finds out that this, in fact, is way bigger than we had ever imagined, you know. And, you know, this is that significant larger story aspect of what's going on, you know. I think our story is a lot bigger. Our impact is a lot bigger than we imagined. And I think the things that oppose us are way bigger than we can imagine. And I don't know about you, but you've seen men tell stories, and you've seen some of the tragedies that have happened that the person believed that it was their fault. And I think if they understood the nature of the enemy and how he's assaulted him for so long, that the whole thing was a setup. And it seems like it was a self-inflicted wound, but actually it wasn't, you know. And this is what God can see through in our lives, and that the assault on us and what's going on around us is way bigger. Greater. You have to look harder. I think that was the big message from the movie. You know, you have to look harder.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's really good. And I love that Reggie and Aaron have both put up that statement, you know, for all those who've been downrange to us and to those like us, damn few. And there's something powerful to know that, you know, Scripture says we are part of the remnant. We are the children of God, you know, that we are those few. There's just something powerful about that, I think.
Mm.
Now, Mark wrote on here.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Dan. Mark, where he says, "I guess I want to reinforce the idea that we need each other." And he says it should be assumed we're here for each other, but he also then goes on to say, but we must plan for it. We have to offer ourselves to him and him to us. We pray for each other like men on the movie. We cannot walk alone. We won't make it alone. And he's absolutely right. And I think this is
right.
The hardest thing for us guys to do. You know, maybe
yeah.
I don't know if it's just us guys in the 20th and 21st century, but we just have a tendency to walk alone. We you know, we don't want to share those things, but we're not going to make it alone. The battle's too big. We're meant to fight together.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's I think the real, you have Jesus walking with 12 guys for 3 years, you know, on some extended camping trips. And after a while, you were just all in this together. There weren't any secrets after a while. And it's creating that kind of atmosphere where a guy feels comfortable enough to know that we're not here for motives or other things, that we're really, it is a safe place to
share really what's going on in my life, and also to be able to explore spiritual concepts.
You know,
I read this. I want to talk about that. You know, it's creating that safe place where a guy can be that way. I think is the real key.
And of course, Mark's talking about having to plan for it. I'm thinking in base camp, maybe we need to set up a place where a guy can say, I need help, and someone's watching it and saying, we're going to gather three guys around you. We'll get on the phone. We're going to talk to you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to gather around you on this issue. Because I think that's what we want. We have to figure out a way to work this, but I think we really need to do this. Make it a safe place where guys can say, I need help. I'm raising my hand.
Yeah, and by the way, also, John, I love your comment here when you said, and you're actually talking about Mark's earlier comment. You said, I love Mark's earlier comment that even a Navy SEAL cannot train himself. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
We need each other in that way, too.
And that a Navy SEAL still needs training today. You know, it's that recurrent thing. Just because he's a Navy SEAL doesn't mean he's done with training. You know, he's still going in there himself and resubjecting himself to training. Yeah, that's huge.
Well, man, this has certainly been a great call. Jeff, thank you for doing this. This has been fun.
Yeah.
I wish we could just all be together and just go out and watch the movie and then, you know, go to a pub and have a beer and talk about this just like we're doing here. That would be ideal.
Yeah.
Hey, let's come back to my house.
Hey, I'm for that. I'm for
August.
That.
Yeah, August, July maybe. Yeah,
I think we can handle 20.
Yeah, so listen, we've done the next best thing. We've made it work with what we've got, and that is on this telephone call. So, everyone, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Jeff, thank you for putting this together for us.
My pleasure.
It's been very good. So we will be back on the phone again soon. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Good night.
See you, everybody.